Yeah. Anyways, back to this. So Shemitah Ksafim, right. So the 10th Perek is about Shemitah Ksafim. Shemitah Ksafim, you know, is the part of Shemitah that in Chutz La'aretz people are a little bit more familiar with, because, you know, it applies there. Shemitah Ksafim is it's a beautiful mitzvah. Just a beautiful mitzvah. Maybe I'll, you know, maybe just a minute on the idea of Shemitah Ksafim. There are obviously many different shitot. The Sefer HaChinuch says that Shemitah Ksafim is l'lamed nafshenu b'midot ha'meulot midat ha'nedivut v'ayin tov. It's to teach us about being generous. V'nikvu b'levenu ha'bitachon ha'gadol b'shem Baruch Hu, and it makes us trust in God. This should sound familiar because some of these overlap with Shemitah Karka, remember these, right? Faith in God, generosity. And then we will be able to get the blessing from God. I didn't give this to you. Just a few minutes, right? And it gives us, you know, it protects us from theft. Because we'll have a kal v'chomer, and we'll say, "Afilu al vativ mamoni ve'giyah shana shmirah amrat Torah lashmit minam alve." Right? If even when I had my own money and I lent it out and I was supposed to get it back, and shmita comes, I have to give it up. Shelo l'gzol, shelo lachmos a kol shekain Torah l'drachek adakat sachar. Then stealing kal v'chomer to the opposite extreme. Right, Reuven Eibschitz, in a piece that we will see, right, focuses a lot on Ushnata. It's Ushnat Shvi'it Shnat Ratzon LaHashem Asher Yashlich Adam Yulei Kasbo LeYomar Elokinu Maseyadenu. Right, it forces us to remember that money is not really ours, and also Mitzvazo Gamal Shalosh Nishtaku Yoter Midai Beisek Masam Batan. Right, a lot of it is overlapping with Shmitat Karka. Right, it causes us not to be too obsessed with business. Remember this? We saw all of this at the beginning of the year. Mitzvah, Shemitah. Okay, the only one I would add, which you already know, but let's see if you remember it. Do you remember what Rabbi Haber quoted from Rav Midan when you were on the tour? Let's see how much you learned from our educational CRM. So, if you do you remember?
In terms of.
He gave another reason for Shemitah Ksafim. Okay, we'll do Chazara now on the tour. Do you remember? So, what about before? So, before, exactly there, when right after Sammy dropped his phone, he said this. Right?
Oh my God.
Right, it was the next stop after that. We're doing, right? So if you remember, he said that, right, he pointed around the field and he said, around, you know, the area, and he said, look, Shemitah would be comprehensive to your entire life. Because it wouldn't just be the farmers, but it was the people who owned people who owned the shoemakers. Yeah, it would be the people who owned the gut and the people who owned, right, so the wine press. But who would it not directly affect? The shoemakers. The only people who didn't were the artisans, right? Shoemakers, pottery makers, stuff like that. And Shemitah Ksafim, what does it do? It allows, right? It brings them into the conversation, right? Because now, A, it affects them, and B, their neighbors, most of whom are farmers, now don't necessarily have money on hand, but they still need shoes. They still need pots.
Well,
so they might take it as, right? They might borrow, and now Shemitah Ksafim enables to take care of the right to be involved and to take care of the people who are suffering because of the agriculture. What?
That kind of contradicts the idea of the psukim, though.
Why?
Because the psukim says that while loans are canceled, tabs for artisans.
Oh, you mean the mission? Right. So it could just be that they'll borrow money in order to buy things like that. But I mean, the point is, it makes it relevant for people who are not.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. That was Zman Shmitat Kesafim.
So there might be a problem for like when, like, let's say like a couple of us want to get together and get pizza and a person pays for it. We might not have to pay them back.
Zman Shmitat Kesafim. No, we're going to see. Right? The simple shot is when is Shemitah Meshameit? At the end.
We just need to wait a little bit longer.
Rov Rishonim, as we will see, say the end. Right? Based on the simple shot in the Gemara. Miketz Sheva Shanim. But that is why, right, I gave you a separate sheet dealing with timing. So hold the thoughts of when it is. Okay, good.
Do you think that if I pulled Shemitah Kesafim that I wouldn't have to pay for the washing machine?
Because it's at the end. And he'll write a prosbul on behalf of the yeshiva. So good luck.
It's that prosbul's promise, so.
Is it?
Is it that?
Yeah, I wonder whether that is.
We're not borrowing the money from him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably. You're probably right. Okay, fine. So, good. So you guys read through a little bit of the first parak.
Yeah,
right? Okay, so the 10th parak, the Mishnayah, right? So what do we find out in the Mishnayah? That Hashvin Mishamed Amava Bishtar Vishalo Bishtar. Right? That it doesn't matter whether it's a loan with a document or without a document. Right? Ha kafat chanut ena mishametet. Im asa malva rezu mishametet. It is only about loans, and therefore a tab is not, unless what we call zakaf alav bimilva, right? Which is you turn it in to a loan, right? Meaning, you now say, okay, time's up. You got to pay me now, right? And now you, right? So then you can do it. Bihuda Omer Arishon Rishon Mashmit. He says, no, that's not true. Each time you put on a tab, it is in fact a loan, and therefore is Mishamet. Schar Sachir, ain't a Mishamet. The loan, not a loan. What you owe your worker, it's not a loan, so Shemitah doesn't apply to it. But if you say, okay, I've worked for you for now 3 days, you owe me this much money, right? Right? Your zokiv kimilva harezu mashmir. Yossi yer komalacha shiposeket bishvi'it meshmetin. It was like bishvi'it in a meshametin. Yossi says it depends. Did the work finish during Shemitah? Then yes, but if not, since the money wasn't owed until after Shemitah. No, I'm just looking at the Mishnah. You said you looked at the Mishnah. Oh, okay, this is just the first. That's fine, right? Now, probably the most surprising one, and this is what we will spend today on, is actually, we probably should have read the psukim first, right? Mikayt Shevashanim. The end of 7 years, and again, we'll see. What is the end? Is it the end of the sixth going into the seventh, the end of the seventh, or both? The rush. V'zed dvar ha-shmitah. What is shmita? Shmot kol bal ma'aseh, wipe out the loan. Asher yashiv reyu, lo yigos et reyu. Ve'et achiv ki kara shmitah la'ashem. You cannot claim the money from your friend because he is called shmita to God. Now, what's the problem? The million-dollar question will hang on this line, which is, what does this pasuk mean? Zed dvar ha-shmita. These are the laws of shmita. Shmot kol bal ma'aseh yado asher yashev reyu asher lo yigos et reyu v'rachiv ki kara shmita la'ashem. So what does that mean? You can't claim a loan. Now, someone tell me why you can't claim a loan after it has been wiped away by Shemitah, whenever you think that is, the beginning of the Shemitah, okay. The end of the Shemitah. Why? So Josh says one possibility is, it is Nishmat.
Or
it is gone, and therefore you can't claim it. Why can't you claim it?
It's not there.
It's not there. Right? That would be me like going, Shlomo, where's my money? What money? The money you owe me. I don't owe you money. You do owe me money. No, you don't. I don't even. It never happened. Right? Is that what it is in Shemitah, which is, right?
Or the loan is still there, you just can't collect on it.
Oh, or the loan is there, but you can't collect on it. What would support that loan disposition?
I forgot the Gavra.
What in the Psukim would suggest that? That, what is the emphasis? Lo yigos et reyehu. Don't
collect
from from your friend. What does that imply?
That there's what to collect.
That there's something to collect and you can't do it. Right? So the question is, right, this is the million-dollar question. The ABCs of this sugya is, when, what is, how does Shemitah Kesafim work? What we called in the context of Karka, in the context of Hefker, Avkata Degavra, Avkata Malka, right? Now remember, as Rosh Weiss will make the very clear point, these are not contingent on each other, right? You don't have to hold one to hold the other, but the same conceptual model exists. And guess what? Remember that in between Ramosha model, right? That's going to exist also. Oh. Don't worry, that'll exist. So is it that you can't collect because it has been erased, or you can't collect because it does exist, but nevertheless, or in, maybe another way of putting it is, as we'll see, the Ketos will put it this way, is Shemitah Kesafim a dinei mamonot halacha or isurin?
Or as a gavra, are you forced to absolve the loan, and therefore now the loan literally doesn't exist anymore?
Oh, good. Now, is there going to be a nafkamina to those formulations? Before we even get into the heart of it, are there nafkaminas to that?
Yeah.
Like what?
I was listening at their
words. Yeah, good. Give me one. You haven't gotten that for. Good. So give me some nafkaminas. Nafkamina. What about a loan lent to you by someone who's not chayav in mitzvah? Like a katan. What about a loan that is lent to you by a woman? Is this a mitzvah asay? It's mitzvah sheshes mat grama, right? Is that different? Or one of the very, very fun, or one of the very fun modern shailas, which it's unbelievable how much is written on this, and I gave it to you in case you're interested, and we'll, maybe we'll spend a few minutes on it, which is, what happens if you have a loan and it becomes Shemitah in the time zone where the lender is, but not where the borrower is, and then the borrower writes a prosbul, right? Does it depend on where the lender is or where the borrower? Yes, there's so much written about it, right? Or, right? Time zones, or what happens if someone becomes a Baal Tshuva and 25 years later, right, they realize they had a loan which should have been wiped out from Shemitah, and now they collect it. Is it Gezel, right? Retroactively, right? They, right? Is it Gezel? Or they shouldn't have done it, but now it's done, and the money is still rightfully theirs, right? There are all types of nafkaminas that hang
on. Like I've got the Gafra, but he didn't actually.
But he didn't do it, so now he may have missed a chiyuv. Right, but is it Gezel? Right, those are different. Right, those are different. Right, and maybe yes, he didn't do the right thing. But the question is now he has the money and he's invested it. Right, you know, right. What do you do? Right. So all these shailas will hang on. Now, what is the? Let's just continue the psukim for a second, because this is going to be very important for Prozbul, which we won't spend too much time on it because we'll probably run out of time. Hishamer lecha pen yed davarim levavcha bli'al emor karva shnata sheva shnata shmita v'ra'a incha b'achicha ha'evyon v'lo titein lo v'kara alecha l'adonai v'aya b'cha chet. And, oh, sorry, I skipped one. Et an chret he goes, asher yelecha achicha tashmet yodecha. Right, if you have lent money to a guy, you can or must or should collect. And then it says, and don't have wicked things in your heart, saying, Shemitah is coming. And say, and not give money to the poor. Give him. Right now, as we know, this is the reason for Prozbul, which is that Hillel said, oh, people stop lending. Now, but I do want to just pause here for a second. I've mentioned this before, but it is very important to remember. In the Torah, how many times does it actually talk about straight stuck up? Never. Probably never. Right? Most of them are about loans. And then in halacha, we expand it from loans to also mean stuck up. But the simple shot in most of the cases, except for maybe Maaser Ani, but that's sort of a weird, right? That's part of a, right? None of them are exactly what we think of as a handout, right? Even the matnot aniyim, right? It's you leave things in the field for them to take, which as I once heard from Rabbi Dov Linzer, they're also sort of doing a service, right? Before you plant anew, you have to pick off all the things that aren't edible just to right? So they're doing.
So there's no outright idea of just in the Torah, there really isn't.
So the primary way that you gave money was loans, and then Shemitah makes it retroactively a handout. But what's the nafkamina? Right? Besides for psychologically, it's much better, but there's also a very practical one. I was listening to a Shir While I Was Exercising by Rabbi Eli Weber, right? And he just made a very, I thought it was a very simple point. The difference between saying give someone $100 and give them a loan, which there's a good chance that it'll turn into a handout retroactively, is that you'll give a lot more money. You'll give a lot more money, right? Because think about it. If I have $500 that I could afford to give staka to, so if I give it as a handout, how much money do I have to give out?
Zero.
$500, right? But if I can afford to give $500 and seven poor people come to me, right, and ask me for a loan, right, I might be able to afford to give $700 because I assume that maybe not all of them, maybe not even most of them, but some of them will probably pay back, and therefore putting down $500 is probably not going to all be wiped out, right? And I'm also probably, if I'm willing to give a $100 handout, I might be willing to give a $200 loan, which might turn into a handout or I might get back, right? It also changes how much you actually give them, right? Right. So so this is it's very important to remember that the primary ways that the Torah talks about staka are actually loans with the potential of a retroactive, right, turning it into a handout because you wipe away the debt, but it's still very different, right? It changes the nature of the economy. Let's just make the point, and that's why thinking in Prosbul, right, when Hillel says people aren't giving loans, I need to do something, you understand how central that is, right? It's not like people are giving charity, but they're not giving loans. If the primary way that you help the poor is loans, that means the poor are getting nothing, right? Not they're getting handouts. If I don't want to get, right, it's they're getting nothing, nothing, nothing. And that's bad. Yes?
So, let's say, for example, is at the end of the year. Let's say you lend somebody money, and then, like, the star says that they have to pay back before the end of the seventh year, and they, like, stalled and
that's
over.
Exactly what would be wiped away.
It would be?
Yes.
Even though it's just because they stalled.
Yes, that is, in fact, the paradigmatic case that would be, yes.
I thought it's just like there's no limit on it of when they have to pay back.
In that case, that would be wiped out. The Gemara's discussion is, what if I said you have to pay me back only the year after Shemitah? Because then it wasn't due during Shemitah. That the Gemara has a discussion about.
Yeah.
Right?
That's because they stalled and were over. Like,
yes. That's exactly the case. That is the classic case. Yes. No, Tosefet Shviit does not, right? Good question. No, there is no Tosefet Shviit by Shemitah Kesafim. Okay, now the Mishnah that really, really, really forces people to ask the question of the nature of is Mishnah Chet, right? I'll just read it to you since you don't have it, but it's incorporated in the Gemara. But that is Hamachzir Chov Beshviit Omer Lo Mishametani. If someone returns a Chov Beshviit, whatever Beshviit means, we'll have to get back to the timing question. But whenever the loan is done, let's assume for now, the lender says Mishametani. The lender says, I wipe it away. If Omer Lo Afal Pichein. But if the borrower says, nevertheless, I want to pay you back, yikabel himenu, you can take it. Shne'emar v'zeh dvar ha-shmita, because it says, this is the word of shmita. And how is the Mishnah reading it? This is the word of shmita. Then what is your responsibility during shmita? To say it, right? To say that you are machzir the chov. And then you have been yotze your responsibilities. And the Gemara adds, "Amasuk b'shviat omer lo mishamedani ruach chachamim neochei menu." Right, and the chachamim want you to do that. They actually want you to pay back the loan. That's the right thing to do. Right, that's the right thing to do. Now you tell me, why should you have to say mishamedani? Give me two understandings of why you have to say mishamedani. Either because it is not wiped out, as Mordechai said, and therefore what it's saying is,
forgive it.
You have a mitzvah to forgive the loan, right? Or
you have to wipe out the stock.
You meaning
star
you
went down.
It is a, so why do you have to verbalize it?
To let him know that.
So right, you have to acknowledge that you are respecting the terms of Shemitah, but it happened whether or not you like it. But then
that,
you have to explain.
That's a little bit weird.
Yes, and then you have to explain the flip side, which is why is it that if you pay back the loan, that's the ideal. You don't have to, but why is it
looking too bad right now?
Very good. Right. So why if you do pay back the loan, a ruach hachamim nochei menu, right? Why would you say that? So if you say that the loan really exists and I have to waive it, so it makes a lot of sense. Really, the loan exists. I shouldn't claim it. But if you want to give it to me,
you're still open. You're open to the process.
Right, but and the loan exists.
No, but it also
right?
helps people want to lend it
right?
in the future if they see that people are still
yeah.
paying back.
Right, right. But if you say that the loan exists, there's a mitzvah for Mordechai to wipe out the loan to me, right? But it exists. So then Mordechai says, I won't claim the loan from you. And I say, but nevertheless, I'd like to pay you back because it still exists. Right? So sweet. Right, but if you say that Shemitah wipes it out entirely, it's a little bit weirder.
Because no,
you would say, good, so you have to do something like Josh and say, listen, you're right, the loan doesn't exist at all. But if you want to create an atmosphere in which people are
lending, then it's mutually beneficial.
Exactly.
To pay back.
Exactly. It's, it's not a loan. I'm not paying back the loan. I'm gifting you the money that happens to be the same amount as you lend me. You remember when we saw mutual gift giving? It's I, right? It's amazing.
Gift to me.
As I, you know, I'm so inspired by the fact that you forgave my loan of $105.16 that I just feel compelled to give you a gift of $105.16. I mean, that number is totally arbitrary. It's totally arbitrary. Like Bimikra, I thought of that number. I just, it's isn't it amazing? It's, oh, you mean that was how much you lent me? I mean, it was this is just my favorite amount of money to give as a birthday present. It's $105.16.
It's like five and something something sub.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Right, exactly. Okay. So let's, you know what, let's just get down these main the main makarot. Then let's. Why don't you turn to page two, right? Turn to page two, and then we'll come back to the other things, right? We'll get back to the question of whether we spent a long time on whether it's daraita derabanan bismanazeh, right? But so if you look at the top of the page, this mishnah that I just read to you is quoted in the Gemara in Gittin. Hamachzir chov v'chavero bashviit tzarich sheyomar lo mishamitani. Right, someone who returns alone to his friend must say, if someone wants to give you back a loan, you must say, I wipe it away. If he says, no, I want to give you the money. I want to pay you back. You can't. Okay? So far, that's just the Mishnah. The Gemara makes it worse, which is going to force you to sharpen your ideas. Amar Rabba, v'talile ada amar achi. You're also allowed to hang him up until he says, oh, I really want to give you the loan. Which...
the atmosphere is very important.
Yes. Right. Now, Rashi says, what does that mean? Exactly what it sounds like. Im ayarotze lachzorbo yitlenu al eitz. Right? Im gavra yado imar le'achol pichen. Right? You hang him on a tree until he says, oh, I would really like to give you the loan back.
Rashi really likes hurting people.
Yeah, so this sort of calls into a question what exactly is going on here? Because it's
not
one
exactly
thing to say. Right, it's one thing to say, I have to wipe away the loan, and then if you choose to give me the loan, well, I'm allowed to accept it. You know, that $105.16. It's another thing to say, I'm wiping away the loan, and you say, thank you very much. And I said, isn't there something you'd like to say to me? Nope, thank you very much. And then I take you and I hang you up by a tree, and I say, I'm going to come back in a few hours. I know it's 100 degrees outside, but I'm going to hang you up by your ankle upside down without water. I'm going to come back in 3 hours and see if there's something you'd like to say to me, right?
Well, Jews were famously mafia members.
Yeah.
Hey, can you like explain the line just to say like you don't have to loan him again?
Okay, very good. So the if you just look, I just edited it for you here, but if you look at 26 all the way at the end, right, on what I gave to you.
The Rivet.
Right, the Rivet says, Ra'iti mishabesh tofes amal ben alo vevek gotcher amal afobichen. I've seen people who say you can hold on to his clothes until he says, okay, I want to give you the money. And he says, ve'ein hadat mikablo. That is, no. Just no. Gam ein lo panim laze perish. This makes no sense. Ein lo panim, right? Like, this, no. Va'ani kach nir alik. Shiroma lo afobichen lo yatsniyem yad ala tolo otam lefanav shechzirom b'mitzvat Hashmita. He says, what it means is, you don't give it to him immediately, right? Right? Like you don't want to say, here, I have forgiven, you've forgiven the loan, thank you, but I'm gifting it to you, right? It's, right, you want him to fulfill the mitzvah of Shvita first, right? So it's, I waive the loan, you say, thank you very much, we sit down, we have coffee, right? And then you say, oh, by the way, you're such a nice coffee, I'm just compelled to give you a present of $105.16, right? Meaning, there needs to be some, you need to let the mitzvah happen, set, you know? And then you can choose to give the money. But this only sharpens the question, which is, by what stretch of the imagination does this work in the model of Shemitah such that I have to waive the loan, but, you know, you're allowed to give it back to me and I'm allowed to encourage you to gift me that money by hanging you up by your toes,
it's
you
like,
know?
It's like how Kedusha with BLS, you know, it's to keep whipping you and try to do that. Even though it's mutter,
don't worry, it's mutter, you know, it's fine, you don't have to give back the loan, I'm not saying you have to give back the loan, right, you know, you don't have to, right, I'm just going to leave you hanging from the tree until you decide, right, when you say that model, you really want to look at it and say, does that work with the model of saying that it's totally, the loan doesn't exist anymore, right? It doesn't exist. I just really need a gift of $105. I can't force it out of you, but right? Right? That, you know, it does call into question the extent to which you can look at this plausibly and say,
well, just don't need to explain it like Rashi does.
Okay, right. But I'm saying that this might, you know, at some level depend on it, right? Where, Right. Meaning saying no, what it means to Leah is I actually have to let the mitzvah settle, right? Like,
or and, say that you just don't have to loan him money again. So he,
yeah, that's like, how does that work? Yitle, right?
You, like,
to hang.
Him suspended. Like, he gets different for himself.
You leave him hanging for forever. I mean, okay. Maybe. Maybe.
Self-dependent.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Good. So with that as background, let's just get the ABCs out here. So which is it? Right, which is it? So if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam says, Mitzvah aseh lahashmit amal v'bishvit. It is a mitzvah to wipe away loan. Shenemar shmor kol ba'al ma'aseh yado. V'toveh chov she'avra alav. Shvit avra lo ta'aseh shenemar lo yigoz re'eu. If you pursue it, that's right, you violate it. Ein shmidak safim nogen min haTorah b'shvid al manshi yovel noheg. Right now it is only darabanan because the yovel is not noheg. Right? But nowadays, right, midvei sofrim, shedehei shmidak safim noheged b'zman hazeh b'chol makom. Right? Midarabanan applies everywhere. And then as you see in halacha dalid, right, the Rambam paskins that it happens at the end. Um, Now, the Rambam seems to hold, if you go through the whole thing, that it's Afkata Dimalka, but if you want a very clear position that says this, look at the bottom, at the Minchas Chinuch, he says, Hinei HaToveh Chob Shavar Lav Shemitah Over Ba'aseh V'lo Ta'aseh. If you claim alone in Shemitah, you violate an Aseh and a Lozadeh, V'chutz Lazeh Heveh Afkata Dimalka, Tachov Nifka. Right? And what's his proof? What's his proof? Kimavur begitin, titzarech lomar b'metana ani noten lach. Because we say that if you pay back a loan during Shemitah, what words do you have to use? I'm giving you a present. So how does the Minchas Chinuch construct the whole shita? He says, this is how it goes, right? It is afkata dimalka, it means the loan is wiped out, right? And that's why...
You can't verbalize it as collection or giving.
Sorry. I wanted to show you the line in the Rambam. I just rushed through it. But the again, this is the symbol found in the Rambam. Look at the end of Halacha Daled. See the end of Halacha Daled? Guys, you see Halacha Daled? Look at the last line. He says, "Ukishetishka chama bilele Rosh Hashanah shamotzai shviit." When the sun sets at the end of Shemitah, avar hachov, the loan is lost.
Yeah, it's
right. Yeah, it sounds like that. And the Minchas Chinuch just adds that, how do you have to understand the whole sugya? The way you'll understand the sugya is, it's afkata d'malka, it's wiped out by God, right, automatically. So why is it, so now let's go to the case of why is it if Mordechai says, I forgive the loan, I say, thank you very much, here's a gift of $105.15, right? Why is it, so the Minchas Chinuch says, why do I have to say a gift? Right, what's he being medayik? He's saying, if the halacha was that the loan exists, but you have to waive your rights to it, but it exists, so what could I say to you? I choose to give back the loan. I know you're not forcing me, but I choose to pay back the loan. The Minchas Chinuch is midayek, and he says, since I'm paying back, since I can say I'm giving it to bimatana, right, I'm giving it to matana, right? So if you go back to the Gemara says, and Amar Rabba v'talei the Amar Achi and Abai Eis ve'Abai Kshu knows him lo when he gives it to him Al Yomar lo b'chol bani knows him lo. You can't say I'm giving it to you as a loan. El Yomar li sheleihein. I have to verbalize this is my money u'b'matana ani noten lecha and I'm giving it to you as a gift to. He says, why do you have to say that? Because it's afkata de malka. God got rid of the loan, and since God got rid of the loan, the only way that I could give it back to you is as a gift. Right? And that seems to be the simple pshat in the Rambam as well. Now, how? Let's say you wanted to say the opposite. How would you defend it in the Gemara? How would you say it's not Afkata de Malka? How would you say it's Afkata de Gavra? How would you read that line? Josh, how would you read that line? Why would you say, I have to say b'matana? I think there's an easy way to defend it. You would say, it's only after I waive the loan, right? Meaning first I need to say Mishamedani, and then you say I'm giving this matana. You're right. Maybe it's not Afkata de Malka, but this, but after I've waived the loan, I don't owe it anymore, so you're giving it as a gift, right? So that's not the biggest proof in the world. But Lamaisa, the Rambam seems to hold, Minchas Chinuch definitely holds, that the nature of Shemitah Kzafim is Afkata de Malka. The main Shita who argues on this is the Yireyim. Who is the Yireyim? Rabbi Elazar of Metz.
Where's Metz?
He is a Bala Yatosvot. Yes, he is a Bala Yatosvot from Metz. Thank you. Very good. Where is it? Eliezer ben Shmuel of Metz is a Bala Tosvot. What? Germany. He died in 1175. Okay, he's a pretty early Bala Tosvot as things go. And the Urayim writes as follows, Hashmatat Ksafim, Et Hashem Elokecha Tira V'Ta'avot. Serve God. Got it? Page 2.
Oh.
Same page we were on. Right here. You're right. Okay. Right? The over alav shnat shviit shi shamet mal vedechtiv mikhet shev shanim tazen shvita vizet var shvita shmot kapal nasa yadosh shere shvira yigol shvira chavti kara Shmita Lashem Vitanya Rabbi Yom Ralin Vatere Choma. Fine. Underline part. V'chol shavar lave shvit eino rashai love l'akvo. A loan that has gone through Shemitah, you cannot, the borrower cannot hold on to it. Ela alpi malve. Shekolz man shelo hishmito malve chayev lifrawa. He says, if you have a rasha of a lender and he does not waive the loan, then you, the borrower, cannot hold on to it. You must pay it back. That is about as strong a language as you can get. He says, listen, yes, the lender has a mitzvah to waive the loan. But if he doesn't,
you can't give it back.
You must give it back to him.
Oh.
Right? He's a rasha and you're a thief. Right? He says, Elalova Yasmin Malva Lidin Shiashmit Lochova. He said, what can you do? You can drag him to court and tell the court, tell him he needs to waive the loan. And they say, okay, waive the loan. He says, no. They slap him across the face. What? Waived the loan. No. They start beating him, right?
Hang him from a tree.
They hang him from a tree, right? And the Beis Din says, do it, Kasher Tziva Hayotzer. Like God told you to. And they force him and they say, say you wave it, say you wave it, say you wave it. Kasher Tziva Chachamim Gan Besov Shvid, Umaydin Labash Aleich, Amasher Chol, Mishvid Tzach Shomer Masham, and Anivim, Amar Afal Pichen, Mekim Amenu, if he doesn't want to say it, so force him. Kiditanya, just like by everything else, right? Like in general, if you don't want to fulfill a mitzvah, right? We beat you until an inch or beyond the life. So you keep beating him. But if he still says, no, 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 I'd rather die than waive this loan, then what?
Die.
Then we'll beat him until he dies, but the loan exists, right? So here you have the two right extremes. You have the Urayim who says it is totally afkata de gavra, and therefore if you don't say, I forgive it, I forgive it, I forgive it, the answer is, it is not forgiven, right? We can force you and beat, we can beat you until you say, I give up, I forgive the loan, but if you say no, right? I am a glutton for torture, right? Then, you know, it's not going to work. What? Yeah, so if you look at the Mordechai, right? The Mordechai is also a German Balei HaTosfot, so he writes, Shaul, at the bottom, same page. On the right hand side. Shaul Rabbeinu Chizkiel Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. Okay? Rabbeinu Chizkiel asked Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. What? Yes, exactly. Libi nokvi ministapakti. My heart is, hesitant in me, and I have a suffix. Someone has been trying to collect a loan for 7 years. And now he's saying, but I know you've been trying for 7 years, but I managed to hold off for 7 years, and guess what? Shmita. The emet shiripo zikshmiyat noeged bezman hazeh ach mishan shmita lo bai lav v'lo amar le mishamen. And he said, we paskin that shmita applies nowadays, which as we saw is a machloket, but we paskin that way, right? Remember, who held that there is no shmita bezman hazeh?
No, wait.
Even midarabana. The Ravid. Remember, it's only a minag. But he says, that's not how we paskin. It's either derived or derabana, but it exists. Right? Remember all the thing in the air? Do we need a 30-second reminder? Right? Rov Rishonim think that Bizana de Shemitah is Derabanan.
Yeah.
Either because there's no Kedusha Aretz or Gzera Dekatu based on Yovel. Some think it's Daraita, right? The main Sugya is this Prusable Sugya that we're doing now. And then the Ravid, right, says, no, it's a Mid, it's not a Daraita, it's very good. So Mordechai saying, listen, on the one hand, we Paskin Shemitah does apply, and therefore this person should not have to pay back the loan. Right? On the other hand, they happen not to have seen each other. It's been 7 years, right? And Shemitah has passed, and he didn't say Meshamed Ani. So what is his suffix, really? Shemitah applies, but he didn't say Meshamed Ani, which might mean that the loan exists, because if you think of Kata de Gavra, if he didn't say Meshamed Ani, he may have violated an Isra, but the loan exists. He says, V'shem, I came and traveled to Shemitah, V'lomer Meshamed Ani, tu lo mechuyav la Shemit, ad Shemit Acher. And maybe he'll say, listen, I didn't talk to him. I didn't see him during Shemitah. So I missed my mitzvah during Shemitah. But Lemaisa, now he has to pay back the loan because I don't have another mitzvah to be mashamed until next Shemitah. Ulefia nir, right? And so what does the Mordechai say? Not true. Ulefia inyan nir dishvit hafkata dimalka. It's not true because Shemitah is hafkata dimalka. Afa gav the loan or mashamed any vizu. Even if he didn't say it, my Mesorah is that Shemitah wipes it away by itself. But now he tells you the middle position. Remember Ramosha? Where do you think Ramosha got it from? But what does the Mordechai then come and say? So then why does the Gemara say, why does the Mishnah say you have to say Mishamedani? Because even though God wipes away the loan, it's a mitzvah for you to verbalize your acquiescence to that. Right? Dichdiv is a dvar ha-shmita. U'mikol makom im bol ha-achzer motzei shvit, k'loshon ha-machzer chol b'shvit, yomer lo mishamid ani. Aval im lo bol ha-achzer motzei shvit, k'loshon ha-machzer chol b'shvit, ein shach klum d'shamot v'omad hu. Right? And he says, so what's the difference? He said, listen, if the guy doesn't come to you, so you don't have to like seek him out to say mishamid ani. Right? But if you see him, you do have to say Mishamedani, but fundamentally, the loan is wiped out by itself. How do I know? Because the next one in the Mishnah was that someone who killed by accident and they want to honor him, what does he have to do? He's allowed to accept the honor, but only after telling them he was a Rotzeach Lashogeg and he doesn't deserve the honor. If they say, nevertheless, we want to give it to you, they're allowed to, right? Which shows you what? That it's just a chiyuv to say it, right? But it doesn't prevent shmita zechel davar. What's another example? Nolid lo bachor be'edro. When you have a bachor, it's kadosh merechem, right? It's kadosh automatically. And nevertheless, mitzvah lagdisho afa bishik bar kitchum elam mishat leida. Right? So now what do we have? So what's the evidence we have? Right? We have the psukim that focus on not claiming the loan, which might mean don't claim it because it doesn't exist, or don't claim it because it does exist, and that's why I have to tell you not to claim it. We have the Mishnah that tells you, Mishamet Ani, right? Complicated by the fact that you're allowed to expect the person to pay back the loan, and maybe, according to Rashi, even force them, right? So what does that tell us? Is it Avkata the Gafra, Avkata the Malka, or some hybrid? So, the Urayim looks at this whole sugya and says, Avkata de Gafra. Right? The loan exists. It exists. I have to waive it. But if I don't, the loan exists. And maybe that's why it's legitimate to expect the person to pay back, because it exists.
Avkata de Gafra tells you that the loan doesn't exist, right?
What?
Avkata de Gafra tells you that the loan doesn't exist.
No, it cannot.
Then you completely get rid of the loan.
No, that would be Avkata de Malka.
No, but you can say that
no.
The person can
no.
Get rid of the entire loan.
Yes, but until he does it, until he does it, it doesn't get,
no,
it's not gone.
Could be to get rid of
the that is their chiyuv, but until they do it, the loan exists.
It could either be that it's to get rid of the loan, or the chiyuv is that they can't collect with it. There's two
different things. Fine, right? Meaning we could, within that, we could say that the mitzvah is to actually get rid of the loan, or the mitzvah is to not collect it, even though you acknowledge that it still exists in some theory. You're right.
You could say it's completely gone, right?
Correct. You could make those distinctions, and that might help you in terms of understanding why I can expect them to pay back. Or do you say Avkata de Malka, which is seemingly the Rambam, definitely the Mordechai, Minchas Chinuch. However, the Mordechai adds, there still might be a mitzvah to verbalize it. Right? Just like by Bechor, it's Kadosh Mirechem, but you have a mitzvah to makdish it. Can you think of other examples where the status exists and nevertheless there is a value to acknowledging it? Shabbos is Kadosh V'Kaima, you have a mitzvah of Kiddush. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning this isn't a foreign model, but I will add, but what does that tell you? If you follow the Mordechai model, there seems to be a synthesis of a monetary law and a ritual one. Right? By monetary law, we don't usually have that. By ritual law, we have that. Mm-hmm. Right? By ritual law, we have that. Right? It is Kadosh, but I should be Makdish it. Right? We don't really have that by monetary law. Mm-hmm. Right? By monetary law, you do what you're obligated to do, and that's it. There isn't like, and ritualize it, right? So he stands in a little bit of a synthesis. And as I said, right, if you look at Minchas Chinuch, right, he says, A nafkamina would be cherishota and kata, right? That ostensibly, if you were a cherishot, if someone has a cherishot, the kata or machayv mitzvot. So if it's a kata din malka, the loan disappears. Yeah, if it's kata the gavra, maybe not. Now you could say not necessarily, because you could say, right? How could you push back on it?
Can a cherishot to a kata din lend money?
Yeah, they could, right? Yeah, well, might have to be put on patroclus, but okay. Or maybe someone becomes a cheresh, right? Becomes it, right?
Oh,
or whatever, right? Now, you could push back at it, and you could say it's a kata de gavra. Sorry, it's a kata de malka, but God will only wipe it away from someone who's chayv to the Torah, right? Just like a non-Jew, he's not going to wipe away the loan because he's not chayv a mitzvot, right? He's not going to do it from someone who's not chayv a mitzvot, even if they're Jewish. You could also say a kata de gavra and say, okay, but he's someone who will be chayv a mitzvot, and therefore, I don't know, God does chinuch, I don't know, right? Right, and therefore he says the second one is, right, the second nafkamina is if you do collect below and post shmita, is it a violation of shmita or is it a violation of gesel? Right, so according to him, it's avkata did malka, and therefore what does he say? Who pashat the dovechov lachar shmita? It's obvious that if you collect it after shmita, over alav the gesel. It's theft. It's not that you didn't keep your chiyuvim of shmita. This money isn't yours. If you then take it, it is theft. It doesn't, you don't deserve it. You have to give it back. And another nafkamina would be the heirs. Right? If he collected it, his heirs would have to return it because it's theft. But maybe if it was avkata de gavra, you wouldn't. Because he would say, listen, the father shouldn't have collected the loan, but once he did, it's his money by right, and the kids can keep it. Right? The father was a Rasha. Right? The father collected the loan. But now the kids can keep it because, you know, it's 3 years past Shemitah. They don't have any mitzvah to wipe away a loan. Now it's past Shemitah. Exactly. Right? The father shouldn't have collected it, but he did. And it was his money by right.
Aren't the sons like the extension of the father?
And not for everything. Right, not for everything in this sense, because right, the ritual obligation is on him. Right, they have the right to his property. Right. I have a few minutes left.
Like they need to bring carbonos that his father, that their father didn't end up bringing. So that shows to me that in situations of repaying what is owed. That might extend to the kids.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
So, in terms of like owing on the basis of ritual, like only with the
No, it's more complicated than that.
I assume, but.
Okay, I want to just show you one more thing then, because we don't have that much time. But to turn for a second to page 8, to Rav Asher Weiss, right? I just want to just make one more point, and we'll stop for today.
Okay.
Right, he quotes, Nechlaku ha-rishonim b'yisod din shmitak safim. Right? He said that the rishonim have a machloket, im have afkata de malka, right? Da tore shmita rachovot b'sof shnat ha-shmita v'ina davar tali klal b'ashmat an amalva u'michilato. Right? Some rishonim say it's afkata de malka, meaning God wipes it away. O de mitzvah ha-tora hu yal amalva la-shmit v'limchol kepashte dekra d'shmot kol ba'al ma'sheh yadeh. Right? Or simple pshat of the pasuk, you have to wipe it away because manchlo ishmita mal vechovo yeshchov mamoni v'shibur alav alashalim. And until you wipe it away, he has to pay back. That rova rishonim dafkata the malka. Most rishonim say it is afkata the malka. And he quotes the Rashba, the Mordechai, achda hayireyim. Right? Says that. Right. Okay, good. Look at next section, bet. So he says, and this is just the point I wanted to make before. He says, Hine, nechelku achronim ke'inze legabe hefker perot shviat. Yeah, they have kata de malka o mitzvah labayam mahafker. The same parallel exists by hefker perot. Da mabit. Remember the mabit? Da av mishigadar karma v'lov kira perot of hefker drachmona after ila perot shviat. Right? The mabit said it's afkata de malka, and therefore, even if you put a fence around your fruit, they are hefker. Achachron mevinu b'darabet Yosef, v'shudavka rochel, de'ein hefker apir avkata de malka. Amo mitzvah la bailam la hafkir. Vema bailam lo hefkir et aper lo ave hefkir. Right? They understood according to the Beis Yosef that you have a mitzvah to be mafkir, but if you don't, it's not hefkir. Vanotom mi peritev heve gezel biyado. And if you take it, it's theft. Right? Go to the next paragraph. He says, but this, again, I made this point, but I just want you to see, you'll see it. Rusher makes it very clear. Just because they're conceptually similar doesn't mean that they're talui ze bazeh. Right? Meaning there's a parallel, but that doesn't mean that they one follows the other. He says, ach, sheyesh dimyon bein shtei ha-pluktot bevadai lav haba ha-talya. Just because there's a conceptual parallel doesn't mean that they are contingent on each other. The af man desvirle de hefker apere efkat de malka, even if you hold that when it comes to hefker of fruit, God wipes it away, yachol is work at a rain. Mishimidek zafin, love efkat atorah elam mitzvah lagavra. You could say that by money he agrees with the rain. Vikach mistaber. And he says there's also good reason to believe that. What's the good reason to say that the fruit is afkata de malka and money is afkata de gavra? The psukim. Kach mistaber, the behefker peruktiv. What does the pasuk say by fruit? Hashviat tishmitena. The shmitah shall wipe it out. What does that sound like? Upashtut mashmauta. What's the simple implication? Shashviat yamishametet at a perot. That shmitah itself is what wipes away your rights to the fruit. And what is the owner obligated to do? Lintosh, which is? Leave it alone. Right? Meaning, the simple pshat is the shmita wipes it away, and you just have to leave it alone. You have to acknowledge it. You have to respect the hefker. Avol b'shmita ksafim, but what is the language of the psukim by shmita of money? Shamot, kol ba'al mashe yado. Everyone who has money has to waive his rights. V'agavrakai, the language is about the person. Shamal mashevo la'ashmit. And he just notes, however, right, as I've said elsewhere, he doesn't buy that the Mabit and the Beis Yosef actually argue on this point, right? So I'll leave that aside. But I just think this was just a very important point to end for today, which is that just because it has a parallel with Hefker of Peiro doesn't mean that they are the same, right? It could be that one is Afkata de Gafra, one is Afkata de Malka. Okay? So let's just see. So let's say tomorrow let's flesh out a little bit more this question of whether it is ritual, right? Whether it's dine mamonot or dine iser, right? And look at a few more nafkaminas of both of these formulations of the question. So look, for example, here. So take tomorrow, do page 6, 6-7, whatever you can of 6-7, 8, right? Where you have Rishon Zalman, you have Usher Weiss. Okay? And then after we finish that, let's say we do one more day on that, then I want to move to this. I want to move to the question of Zman, because what you'll see is that in the question of Zman, you're going to see another version of the Tzvei Dinim, right? Another split, okay, where we're going to see three Shitot as to when the Zman of Shemitah is, okay? And then maybe we'll flesh out some more details on Prusbul and things like that. Do you need a longer review of the question of whether Shemitah was Manazah as Doraisa or Rabbanan?
I don't think so.
Okay, so the only thing that I would just say we'll add tomorrow is one unique Shita, which is the Truman Adeshan, which is if it's Derabbanan, right, or less, why would it be that it only applies in Eretz Israel, right, or near Eretz Israel, right? So that's just sort of one more shit that you need to know that's in play. So do the Truman Adeshan and then, you know, read what you want on page 6-7, whatever. And then a lot of the material here we'll come back to, which is about when you write a Prusbul, but that really depends on this, is when does Shemitah apply, okay? Fine.